closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
Here's a quick what if for you. Not doing this as a topic. I'm just throwing a quick what if out there. Yesterday we discussed that the Steve Bannon backed PAC is all in. Bannon basically has inserted himself in the U.S. Senate primary, and he's picked Kevin Nicholson. If we had a listener, whoever Uncle Steve supports, that's who I'm for. Unfortunately, that I've seen enough emails from that guy where he's quite serious. Okay, what if Donald Trump endorses Leah Vukmir? What does the Trump base do then? Now, this is not entirely hypothetical. Of course, we saw it happen in Alabama. I would argue, though, that people are assigning credit to Steve Bannon for Roy Moore's victory that he doesn't deserve. I think that cake was already baked before Bannon got involved. Trump, on the other hand, did nothing to help out Luther Strange, who was appointed and just not all that popular, seen as establishment. The reality is Roy Moore should have been the Trump candidate. But you're going to have that same dynamic. And Kevin Nicholson apparently pledged to oppose Mitch McConnell, which is how he got the Bannon blessing. And we still don't know if there will be a third candidate in the person of Eric Hovde. I don't know. But isn't that an interesting what if? I think that's an interesting little what if. I don't know. Yeah, predicting what Donald Trump will do at any time in the foreseeable future. A couple of stories here that lead into the topic that we're going to get to this half hour. A teacher at a California high school was put on paid leave for kneeling and holding up a Black Lives Matter sign during the national anthem at a homecoming rally. The woman kneeled with two signs, one saying Black Lives Matter, another reading, It's okay to disagree with every sign here. After the assembly on Friday, a staff member approached her in her classroom and walked her to her car. She was placed on paid leave and was back to work Tuesday. Item two, four city council members chose in Ann Arbor, Michigan, to kneel during the Pledge of Allegiance at their Monday meeting. The four members moved in front of the council's table, turned toward the flag, and took a knee when it came time to recite the Pledge of Allegiance after the meeting was called to order. One said he did it for an act of attention, concern, and out of respect for the aspiration that we should be a nation with liberty and justice for all. Which transitions to this. After meeting with owners and players Tuesday concerning social issues, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said the league did not ask for any changes to the policy on the national anthem. We did not ask for it, Goodell said. We spent today talking about the issues players are trying to bring attention to, issues in our communities, to make our communities better. So they didn't talk about the protests themselves, but the driving force behind the protests. The policy states that players should stand for the anthem, and some have suggested the league would seek to change that to must stand. Goodell said in a memo to teams last week that the NFL prefers for players to stand during the Star Spangled Banner. Rush Limbaugh brought this up yesterday. So apparently here's what the NFL thinks is going to get their players to quit kneeling. Advocate for leniency in the criminal justice system. The NFL is wading in that deep into social issues, hoping to placate the players rather than deal directly with what's going on the field. The commissioner on Tuesday called the discussions with players very productive and important and said it reflected our commitment to work together on issues of social justice. He commended the players for their great character and a deep understanding of the issues in their communities. He said their commitment is admirable and the owners want to help them. Their commitment is admirable. I think there are legitimate concerns. Protesting the flag and anthem have never been a wise, productive, and in my opinion, right way to do it. So they'll meet again sometime in the next 2 weeks, and the owners' meeting will resume Wednesday with more discussion about the national anthem. Many of the NFL players and owners in attendance came away thinking the meeting was beneficial. Colts defensive back Darius Butler said the most important thing was for the league and owners to hear the players' perspective. Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross called the session constructive. So, President Trump came out firing on Twitter today. Trump criticizes NFL for not penalizing anthem kneeling. The NFL, for now, will continue to let players kneel or sit during the national anthem without a penalty, capitulating to demands by the athletes for free expression, but potentially further alienating fans who object to the protests and feel they are disrespectful to the flag and the military, writes Ken Belson and Kevin Draper at the New York Times. But after a meeting Tuesday with union reps and players, the league did promise to help support some of the causes targeted by the protesting players, including reform of the criminal justice system. So the NFL is hoping by taking the social justice position and advocating for it, that will placate players. President Trump tweeting 6:06 a.m. Eastern this morning, the NFL has decided that it will not force players to stand for playing of our national anthem. Total disrespect for our great country. Again, the president of the United States continuing to say the league should force them gets very close to a line. He is the government. The NFL isn't. He's taking the red herring of this being a First Amendment issue and coming dangerously close to making it a real issue. But set all of that aside for a moment, and I turn now to a column by conservative writer John Cass in the Chicago Tribune. What if the NFL were a diner? This is very good. It's kind of long, but it's good. I want to share it, and then I'll take calls afterwards. Why I think Donald Trump, Scott Walker, and every other politician should butt out. But first, his column. What if the NFL wasn't a troubled multi-billion-dollar business desperate to wriggle out of its national anthem kneeling crisis? Instead, what if the NFL were a small business, like a diner? A nice NFL diner with waitresses named Doris and Stella, and a grill man named Jerry, who did a bit for burglary and hates his job, but who makes a perfect franchisee. Who doesn't like a nice, friendly diner with prompt service and tasty food? So Doris comes up to your table to take your breakfast order. She smiles, pours a cup of coffee, and calls you hun in that way of diner waitresses. But then Doris has something else to say. Abortion is killing babies, says Doris. Get that? Abortion is murder. Now, do you want those eggs? How do you want those eggs again, hun? Which is at the in-your-face. He's got it exactly right. The reason I want you to think of the NFL as a diner, offering bacon and eggs, maybe good patty melts, cop salads, real fries, and that killer franchisee, is that Americans seem confused by one important aspect of the kneeling drama, reality. And it's time the NFL takes the red pill and wakes up, or not. It doesn't bother me. I turned the league off long ago, he writes, because of all the lies about head trauma while the marketing machine encourages generations of young men, mostly minorities, to have their brains ruined so rich owners can make even more money. Still, some remain interested in the Federal Brain Trauma League, the giant conglomerate that owns Sunday in America, until players began disrespecting the flag by kneeling during the national anthem. Fans didn't like it. Billionaire owners began panicking because while they don't want to anger their employees, they also don't want to lose fans and money. And the TV networks that once broadcast images of kneeling before the games now cut to commercials rather than show more kneeling. This tells you that the owners are freaking. Well, that's what they always did. The change was showing it because of the protests. Or if you dare think, okay, I've also seen it written. Oh, meanwhile, many journalists and activists keep insisting that the kneeling drama is a First Amendment issue. I've also seen it written that if you don't like kneeling during the anthem, you're probably a white racist since black players are doing most of the kneeling. Or if you dare think kneeling during the anthem is disrespectful, then you're probably a deplorable Trumpian who should be tarred and feathered or at least assaulted by Antifa. But America isn't the racist country some would suggest. We elected our first black president, then reelected him. Does racism exist? Yes. But America really isn't the worst place on earth, although you wouldn't know it by following the NFL kneeling news. For many, the kneeling isn't about President Donald Trump. Yes, Trump stuck his nose in there in that vulgar way of his, saying he wishes the NFL would fire the SOBs who kneel, and this scored points with his base who drove journos and players crazy. So journos are so crazed that they insist the players have a First Amendment right to kneel before games. They might be constitutionally illiterate, or perhaps they suffer from a mental disorder in which they live on fantasy planets where they can ride talking unicorns and are possessed of magical powers. The First Amendment doesn't apply to the NFL players. It applies only to government. And government can't tell Americans what they can or can't say. And that's the line President Trump is getting very close to with his continued insistence on this issue. That was me, not John Cass. Now back to Cass. The NFL isn't the federal government, not yet. The NFL is a private business, like a diner, only larger, with lobbyists and stadiums built for NFL owners with billions upon billions of dollars squeezed from taxpayers who cannot possibly afford game tickets. Rather than argue about the Bill of Rights, can we return to the NFL diner for an open-faced sliced turkey sandwich with gravy or feta spinach omelet? Unfortunately, several customers have already walked out. Doris has spent the morning pushing her pro-life agenda. I will never step foot inside this restaurant again, says a man wearing a strange fuzzy pink hat. I wonder how many people get that reference. You know what that is, don't you, Earl? The strange fuzzy pink hat? I can't say it on the air. It's hats that look like female genitalia. I came here for breakfast, not to be lectured to, he says. And Stella is busy, too. Her feet hurt. But she walks over to another table, takes care of a family stopping for an after-church brunch. The mom orders the salad. Dad orders the steak sandwich. The older kids, high school students, ask for pancakes and eggs. Are you in college? Stella asks the kids, who tell her no, but they're applying. Well, says Stella, I really hope you don't think you can use affirmative action and claim Native American ancestry, because affirmative action is racist. And those who say otherwise are racist, too. Then Doris comes running up shouting, abortion kills babies. And Jerry the cook gets into it, yelling across the sizzling grill. My daughter shouldn't have to use the same restroom as some 6-foot-tall transvestite, Jerry says, okay? All the customers get up and run out the door. Haters gonna hate, says Doris and Stella. Don't impose your political values on me, says Jerry. I have rights too. I did my time. I'm a dad. The dad who just wanted a steak sandwich stands at the door. What the hell is wrong with you? All I wanted was a steak sandwich. Can't a man have a simple steak sandwich? He's the last one out. Word gets around, and in a few weeks, the restaurant closes its doors. It's what happens in business when businesses forget what their business is. John Cass, Chicago Tribune. My contribution, Donald Trump, Scott Walker, and everyone else with an R behind their name should get out of this and stay out of this. If the NFL wants to drive away its customers, it has every right to do that. 888-455-1360, it's 920.
The Jerry Bader Show.